This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Serial. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another show, Get Serial Thursdays. It's going to be hot today, but not as hot as this show, as James said before. I'm taking that. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Brendan and James with me in the studio, and Trisha keeping us on air. Good morning to you all.
Hey, hey, hey.
Good morning.
Oh, is anyone feeling a bit warm?
I am. I walked outside this morning, 28 degrees at 4:30 this morning. So I had a lovely little stroll down to the station and shorts and t-shirt weather all around. So looking forward to today. Might go have a little bit of a swim as well.
And if you still haven't gone to sleep yet, just stay up and listen to the show.
we can definitely assure you that we had trouble sleeping too last night. We've got a massive show, guys. Plenty of stuff to going on. Strolling with Strip takes a little bit of a turn.
We'll stay tuned for that. Hopefully it lifts up to standards.
That's I don't think it has as badly as last week.
We've got some more ridiculous names, which we know how that went last time with me. So we'll see how this goes this time. Bono, we've got something to do with Bono, James. Yeah. We're gonna touch on that a bit later.
It's a story and a half, so stay tuned.
But first up, let's get into a song. This is Circles by Post Malone. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with your Thursday team, James, Stephen, and Brendan. How are we this morning?
Oh, very well, very hot.
Not bad, yeah, a little bit warm.
Yeah, cruising along. It was slightly warm. Got outside my house this morning and went, hold on a second, I don't need a jumper. I'm not even close to needing a jumper.
Did you walk out with a jumper?
I brought one with me and I have no idea.
That's what Trisha said on the way downstairs. She's like, do I need a jacket? I'm like, Trisha, you're going to open the door and you're going to feel real hot.
I didn't even think twice about not taking a jacket. I just walked out of my house with a t-shirt and shorts and went, that's it.
I figured at 5 a.m. it was going to be cool enough. But no, it's 28 degrees out there right now. It is crazy. And it's going to be a warm one the whole way through. We're looking at 39 here in Melbourne today.
And then at about 3 o'clock, apparently it's meant to drop about 20 degrees
in
half an hour.
Welcome to Melbourne, ladies and gentlemen, where you have 39 degrees during the day and then 20 at night. That's the only place where you get an absolute cool change like this. Just nowhere else. Nowhere else.
Except everywhere else where this change is hitting. But let's not talk about that. No, it's pretty unique. But of course, the real concern is, and a bit of a serious note here, is while it'll be great swimming weather, possibly a little bit breezy, for the north and northeast of the state, it will be the first code red fire danger Victoria has seen in almost 10 years. So catastrophic fire conditions forecast for those areas, the Mallee and Northern Country districts. If you're in those areas, definitely, well, stay tuned to ABC Radio. I mean, obviously listen to us. If you can, but we totally understand you need to listen to emergency radio.
And we'll be giving
radio
updates through the morning as they come in as well.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
be checking
sure
as well. But people who live in high-risk areas have already been urged to leave their properties.
They have, yes. Which makes you realise just how serious this is. I mean, for some of those areas, they're tinder dry already and it's November. And
It's early.
And yeah, some big cities early as well could be affected. Swan Hill, Mildura, Bendigo and Shepparton.
It's going to be rough conditions. It's going to be very rough. And they're saying that if a fire gets going in those areas, then there's very little they're going to be able to do to stop it. So now's the time to get out early in the day, spend the day at a shopping centre, whatever you need to do in a big town. I'm not sure if we have any listeners in those areas, but certainly thinking of the guys up there.
And I think they've already closed a lot of schools and early childhood centres and all that.
Essentially, with this situation, we can't take any risks, can't take any chances.
No,
you've seen what's happened in New South Wales and Queensland. It's been absolutely catastrophic. We don't want to have a repeat of lives being lost or wildlife being destroyed. Yeah. So if you see a warning sign, take it and go.
If you don't have a reason to be home today, you shouldn't be home. Exactly. If you live in that region,
It's a very risky situation.
Thankfully, the fire danger it's still going to be a dangerous conditions today, but the conditions aren't quite as severe here in Melbourne yet. But certainly with such high risk weather so early in the season, it's inevitable that we will see some fire risk.
It's not even December.
So it's crazy. It's not even summer yet.
We haven't had too many hot days. When we've had hot days, they've been hot, and today will be one of them. But then our next hot day is not till Monday, and I don't think there is a hot day forecasted in the next 10 days other than Monday.
There you go.
And today.
Yeah, it's...
That's the thing about Melbourne. It's just that unpredictable. You don't know what you're going
to
get.
And give it time, again, once things start to really dry out, because they haven't yet. There's still a bit of green around, but yeah, it's going to be a very dangerous summer, so make sure you keep aware of that, listeners.
And I mean, it seems like it's going to be extended as well, so be prepared for a lengthy period of warm weather and this kind of stuff to hang about.
Yeah, it seems to be the new reality, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, when you think that normally our worst fire danger is kind of late February and into March, we got a long time to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's only the beginning. And the jumpers will be on at about 3 o'clock today.
I can guarantee that I want to have a long sleeve of some sort on later on, and possibly maybe an umbrella as well. Just in case, you gotta always carry an umbrella wherever you are.
You're always prepared.
You gotta be, even like a mini pocket one. Just keep it in your pocket, take it out, bang, you got it.
Oh, so. You're always ready. Any tips for surviving hot days like this, James, for those in Melbourne who are not ready for 39?
Well, I'll get out the ice creams on a hot day.
Ah, yes.
Love a good ice cream. I think that always does the job. If any cold drink of any sort, and jump in the pool.
All right. And for those who don't have a pool,
go to the local pool. Or find someone with a pool and just hang out.
That's right. Party at James's house a bit later on, I reckon.
I hope everyone stays safe today. You're listening to Get Cereal Thursdays with James, Stephen and Brendan. Here is Roxanne by Arizona Zervas.
That was Save It For The Weekend by Skeegs. You're listening to Get Cereal Thursdays on scene with James, Brendan and Stephen. And James, mate, I believe you have some explaining to do in regards to a big name in music that was...
A big stuff up. Yeah. Please explain.
Yes, you two were in Melbourne just on Friday down at that superhero stadium we all know about. The only one in existence down in the Docklands region. So, I do work there, and I was working at U2 on Friday night. And... I had an altercation with...
An altercation? Hold on, this is getting more dramatic.
I wouldn't call it that far.
Well, you just did.
Anyway, so...
Classic James.
I'm working on
Who said that? Who said that?
I love a bit of an exaggeration, but anyway. I was working on the arena at Docklands Stadium, and Bono walks down the aisle and...
No. At this point, you gotta set the scene correctly. At this point, it's just another annoying customer, right?
Yes.
And another annoying customer.
You're on the right track. So, my job on Friday night was to check that everyone that entered on the arena had a yellow wristband.
Oh.
Now down comes Bono, walking down, and I'm like, mate. yellow wristband. He turns to me and he goes, I'm the lead singer of the band. Now I didn't know who Bono was.
Was he wearing the sunnies, can I ask?
He was wearing the sunnies.
How can you miss that?
He's wearing the sunnies. Literally the man.
I've never been more embarrassed. And you know what the worst part is?
Oh.
I saw three really white... Yes, that's Bono. Brendan's just showing me a photo of Bono.
as if he's not haunting your dreams right now, as it is.
Oh.
Brendan's come back with the goods and the goggles.
Yeah, it gets better, though. It gets better because see three sports celebrities that I know, and they're the most... Aaron Finch was sitting in my bay.
Ooh.
Beautiful cricketer. Goes about his business all right. So I was looking at him. I didn't know who Bono was, and it gets better. I'm taking a wee. I was in the cubicle. I walk out of the cubicle, and Hawthorne superstar Connor Nash walks in after me.
Tell me you're flush.
I'm so flush, and I'm not just talking about the toilet. And then standing by the sinks as I'm washing my hand, my hands is his best mate and another Hawthorn legend in Dan Howe. I know who they are, but I don't know who Bono is.
Some of us wouldn't agree that this is top shelf radio, but I'll have to disagree with that. Oh boy. Oh, hold on, let me just catch my breath.
Oh, God.
How? Oh. So I guess B-class footballers, I guess you'd have to say...
B-class? What about D-class footballers? Barely get a game.
You've already offended enough superstars, all right? Why don't you just calm down there for a moment?
I called Aaron Finch a beautiful cricketer. Yeah. Good cricket.
Do you know who reminds you of right now? There's a certain segment on a footy TV show with the Chief, and he used to go off on people doing dribble kicks, and he used to be livid with screaming, and James reminded me of that when just yelled into, out of excitement, obviously, this time around. It wasn't the same situation, but that just reminded me of...
I'd call it a mild amount of regrets mixed in there.
Oh, yeah, of course. I would have loved to be like, Bono, how are we, mate, photo? But I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, pretty much denied him access to his own stage.
I wish...
How do you feel?
Why was he walking onto the arena?
That's exactly why I stuffed up. Because I was, in all fairness to me, I was doing my job.
Yeah.
Anyone that comes on the arena, yellow wristband, he didn't have a security guard near him. There were actually patrons on the arena, and Bono just walks down. No one's rushing up to him.
This does raise the question. Was it actually Bono, or was it just someone dressed up as Bono?
It was Bono. Because everyone or came up it? To me. Everyone came up to me afterwards and was like, mate, what are you doing? that was just Bono. He walked down your aisle. He could have walked down anyone else's aisle. They would have been bloody excited. He walked down my aisle. I didn't even know who the guy was.
They would have been wetting themselves, literally.
Exactly.
They would have made the toilet, but you did. Because you weren't wetting yourself. Because you didn't know who he was.
Speaking of Bono, we're going to play a U2 song. Yeah, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
It's the right song, because you still haven't found what you're looking for.
No, exactly.
A place to hide from the embarrassment.
And up next, we're going to be talking about Greta Thunberg and time travelling. So stick around for that. You're listening to James, Stephen and Brendan on Sin. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays with James, Stephen and Brendan. And something that caught my eye yesterday was this image of a girl in 1898 that looks a lot like
this is
Greta Thunberg.
You casually browse is just images from 1898, is it?
No, it was a news article.
Whatever
it
makes you happy.
It was a news article, but an image did pop up, and it was a girl from 1898 in the gold mines down in Canada, and she looks exactly like Greta Thunberg.
It's pretty
same plait and everything, and it's got people thinking that if Greta Thunberg could be a time traveler.
It's eerily creepy how identical they are. And yes, they've talked about things in the past about this with people and all that kind of stuff. But looking at how identical they look, it's hard to go past it.
I'm actually starting to believe this.
You're starting to believe this.
I'm starting to. I can't see how it isn't her.
You do realize that with so many million or billion people on the planet,
we all have a doppelganger.
Yeah, there's someone out there who looks like you. And I'm not just talking about your twin brother.
Imagine that, yeah.
Lol, good luck to them. you're not getting anyone. Yeah, no.
It does look very, very similar.
I mean, for the benefit of our listeners, you're looking at an image from, so it says...
120 years ago.
It's 1890s, three people in Canada, the other couple are even younger looking.
Why is the guy really far got a blurred out face?
Because the
technology is not great.
Yeah, or is that a doggo in the background?
Yeah, there's a dog there.
It's got a weird face too.
It must have been like the camera quality. But in saying that though, is it just me or... With photos, black and white photos just make things eerily creepier.
Yes,
initially.
Always. It is
she
black
looks
and
creepy.
White.
You don't want her gut coming behind you in the middle of the night.
Oh,
as
nah.
cute as the kid could be.
No. Just, I don't.
Yeah, black
but
and
even the kid, them. Even there's a kid, the kid at the back as well. Just look, just, just you don't want to be seen around that kid at night.
But,
you know, just in case.
I think it's because This Greta Thunberg, she's 16 years old, and she seems to be far beyond her years.
Yeah.
So, so wise for her age. That's why it's like how advanced she is for a 16-year-old just makes
you
think that
she must
be from the past.
She knows a bit too much for her age is what you're saying, essentially, or...
Yeah. But yeah, she's just so wise. She just, I don't know.
Yeah, I love this conspiracy theory, but I'm really not quite buying it.
Well, it's not just Greta Thunberg, I guess, that we like have to look at. There has been plenty of, I guess, conspiracies about celebrities.
Wait, there's been more?
Oh, there's about 70 plus.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Who else? Do you have an example at the top of your head, Stephen?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, if anyone's a time traveler, he is. Oh, what?
Whoa.
Oh, Johnny Depp? That's whoa. Good.
That's
very good.
I've got, I mean...
Loving the cheeky stash.
Hold on, so look, Eddie Murphy.
I love that we're doing a segment that's very visual on radio. By the way.
I mean, like,
we're looking at pictures, yeah. Going, wow.
Yeah. Everyone's going,
yeah. But make sure you get on the internet.
If you get
guys,
on the internet,
a
have
place.
A look and search out things like celebrity time travelers and like that. There are articles everywhere, and there are photos. I'm telling you, people, they're just so similar, and it's not the first time I've seen this happen. So, it kind of begs a question about, you know, whether it's actually a legit
God, where did
thing.
She come from? Oh, where'd man. She go? Where'd she come from, Con Nigel?
All right.
Oh, God. I mean, this is a funny one, though, because I found one of Steve Martin, but the person he looks like is a lady.
Oh, no.
Just have a look at this.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Oh,
wow. Steve, for all your listeners, Stephen is basically on the ground.
Oh,
do you know that our Jesus. Show has just evolved to us looking at memes?
Oh, but that is just... It's just...
Stephen's like, but it's a good meme! It's a good meme!
And our listeners can't just say it. I love this.
Dude, I'm crying. That is just a top-notch one.
Brendan, you're not a time traveler. You don't believe in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm covering up the fact that I'm actually here from the past. That's why I'm pretending I don't believe it.
We need to find an image. We need to find an image from the past that looks like Brendan.
Oh, here we go.
We probably could. I reckon there's something out there.
Challenge set. You've only got
millions. No one wore a man bunny in the 1890s.
I don't know. I wasn't there to check it out.
But I'm telling you, I'm guaranteeing you there's someone with a mo like that. Back then.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, his mo is getting along quite nicely.
The chopper reed look about
Reed,
it now.
Yeah, coming. It's getting a bit dangerously long now. I'm getting some weird looks around the place.
I'm liking it. I'm still haven't shaved from last week.
There's nothing
to tell. The final word on Greta, though, is that I don't think she's a time traveler. You know why?
Why?
I've been thinking about this a lot. Because, like, what do you power a time travel machine with? It presumably fossil fuels.
She's against it.
She even travels on yachts to avoid going on planes. She hasn't used a time travel machine, you know. But if it's a flux capacitor, it needs like nuclear stuff. So I reckon that's my solution. She's not a time traveler.
She probably just went through the Bermuda Triangle.
That's everything. Just
you know, right, the plane. Let's just
space everything. You need to go in a plane to do that.
Let's just.
It's been a few more hours than this, but we've got a song called 10,000 Hours coming up. It's been a few more hours than that, I'd say, in the time travel. But yeah, Dan and Shay and Biebs, you're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin. Enjoy.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays with James, Stephen and Brendan, and that was Cold Chisel. Who, Brendan, you said they're about to tour.
They certainly are. They're getting the band back together again for the first time in a long time.
With Jimmy and the Gang.
Jimmy and the Gang, that's right. That no one remembers the rest of the names.
Who's the other one?
Like, I wouldn't have even known Jimmy.
You wouldn't have known Jimmy Barnes.
I wouldn't have clicked when you said that then.
Yeah, well, look, if it's any consolation, at least it wasn't Bono.
Exactly.
Yeah. I still get confused between Jimmy Barnes and John Farnham, I'm not going to lie.
They look so different.
Yeah, but it's the same
Barnes.
Name.
Have you
seen the ad campaign?
If Jimmy Barnes walked down your aisle and you were just there on your by yourself, would you know who he was?
Yeah, you would.
I would.
Hello!
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Do you think that's what he does when he like walks into a shop?
He goes,
I'd like,
I don't know.
Worth of chips.
You'd let him in, he'd be like, face! Jimmy loves a bit of a screech, doesn't he?
Our whole show has turned into a scream by this point.
Yes, that's right. Look out. Look out. Oh, when we get later on. There's more to come, no fear.
Oh, boy.
No, but yes, they've got a big tour on, and they're throwing a few parties as well. So I know they're playing
And they know how to party, those boys.
Oh, yeah. They're throwing some shows with a bit of a gang. I'm totally not bluffing while I try and work out who they're actually playing with now that I've said it, but they've got a big group they're touring with, and it's almost like a festival, isn't it, James?
It almost is. And speaking of festivals, I'm off to Falls in a couple of weeks, and Spilt Milk I think's next weekend.
Very nice.
Yes, and I'm not going to that because I'm attending a wedding that day, unfortunately.
I'm going.
You're going, Trisha.
I sure am.
And who are you looking forward to see?
Well, it's actually such a good lineup. Like, headlining it is Cleed, and I guess you'd say Dom Dolla.
We're going to play his new song in just a moment, not the next song.
This is what happens when you give James the reins on the playlist this week. No,
a bit of Khalid.
I've got Tones and I, which I'm actually kind of disappointed because when they obviously released the lineup, Tones and I was tiny.
Yeah,
so she has the 150 time slot.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like, imagine it was like,
yeah, you know how big she is now.
She would have almost headlined it.
I actually want to talk a bit of Tones and I. She was on the Jimmy Fallon show a couple nights ago.
Was she really?
Yeah, she was. And Jimmy Fallon full pumped her up. She got the whole crowd going with Dance Monkey, and apparently it was a massive hit in the US, and they're getting around her too. And I think she had number one and two on the global charts. She's had it for the last 2 months or something like that. So she's gone up and about. And yes, as Trish said, when Spilt Milk was released, Tones and I was pretty small, so her set time is at a pretty graveyard shift for a music festival.
150, which is, I'm looking at everyone else.
So when's Khalid on?
Khalid's last.
Yeah,
150.
Yeah,
oh, no, second last. Golden Features is last.
Needless to say.
So he's playing while everyone leaves.
Oh, yeah. No, they're the same. Oh, I cannot read. They're the same time. 9:50, 9:55.
Yeah, okay, they've got a couple.
Needless to say, Tones and I will be packing out.
Yes, so people are going to get there early purely to see her.
Maybe
that's not bad, though. Maybe it pumps it up from the start, because you know sometimes festivals at the start it's
a
little
bit
quiet and it takes a while to get into things. But if Spilt Milk, if they that might be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
if they can get everyone up and about from the start right to the end, that's going to be successful and a real fun day for everyone.
Would you call it luck or would you call it smarts though?
Nah, they did not plan this.
No.
They did not plan for Tones Night to have number one or two in the global charts
for
the last 2 months.
I don't think anyone expected her to be as big as what.
And
we'll play their grand final this year.
Do you know what I do find weird, though? She's so big, yet I find so many people don't rate her.
Yeah.
So many people.
Oh, she's one of those musicians. It was like when Lord first got going as well, where kind of just a bit polarizing.
She has her own sound that people aren't used to. She has her own lane.
That's true.
That's the thing. She has her own sound, and people, and I'm one of those people. I listen to a lot of mainstream music, so a lot of people have a certain taste that's pretty mainstream. And when someone new comes into that mainstream,
It can be challenging.
You're
not used to it.
Yeah, I finally found that lineup for Cold Chisel, by the way. They're playing at Warren Ponds at a winery type thing down there. This for a lineup: Cold Chisel, Paul Kelly, Birds of Tokyo. How good is that? I wish I was.
I love myself some
at
Paul
that
Kelly
time.
And Birds of Tokyo. Paul Kelly is one of my favorite musicians when I was a kid.
He was
so good at the grand final.
That is an Aussie rock masterpiece they've put together.
Cold Chisel just to top it off. Honestly, the for Paul Kelly and Birds of Tokyo, I'd be happy.
I'd just go for Birds of Tokyo, and then you've got Jimmy and Paul Kelly as well.
That's a win-win all around.
So yeah,
exactly. Trisha has just searched up Paul Kelly on Google.
Trisha,
is another artist you're not sure of?
MCG again this year, grand final day.
No, I'm just making sure.
Making gravy. Bring it back.
How to make gravy.
Shush.
Things. That's a dumb thing you just did then. sorry about that. No pun intended.
You know what? Let's override the playlist. Can we play How to Make Gravy?
Of course we can.
We have played that about 47 times on this station, but we can play it again.
Have we actually?
Maybe Dumb Things then. Let's go Dumb Things.
Dumb Things.
That seems about right.
That's a masterpiece.
It's an Australian icon. Oh, you got to love it. It's going to be a fun summer anyway, because you've obviously got the other festivals coming up as well.
Falls.
Yeah, we've got Falls for New Year's. You'll be in New York for New Year's, won't you?
I won't be here for it, but certainly have a good time for me. It'll be amazing.
I'm taking James with me, so how am I going to have a good time?
Well, as long as he doesn't accidentally, I don't know, piss off any lead singers.
we've got Halsey, Disclosure.
Who's Halsey?
I got scared for a second.
Well, John Farman's at full, so I'm probably going to expect Jimmy Barnes to go on stage, let's be honest. No, John Farman is your voice, so I'm fine. I know that. I'm not that uncultured.
Tick. Good. You're not that uncultured.
No, I'm not.
If anyone from the Kilmore region does not know You're the Voice...
I know, it's such
it's
a
It's like the Kilmore
alley.
Anthem, so...
Yeah, it is. Anyways, well...
Being a Kilmore girl yourself, Trisha? Right?
Kilmore girl.
Yeah.
Oh, it's close to Gilmore, I'm just saying. Hey, no pun intended!
I look forward to the next episode of Kilmore Girls.
That was a bit punny.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yuck. All anyway, right. Here home. Is Dumb Things by Paul Kelly. You're listening to James, Stephen, and Brendan will be back right after this.
Three dumb things right here.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with James, Stephen, and Brendan. And Trisha's got a bit of a story she wants to tell, I believe.
Yeah, well, I do,
gonna,
actually.
Are we going to bring back... I think we're going to bring back the muse, a bit of the muse end, a bit of, what did we call it?
Fishy news?
Yeah, so it's...
Catch of the day.
So last week I said, yeah, that was a bit of a flop, but...
Cow of the day?
No, catch of the day.
Catch of the day.
Catch of the day. Fishy news. Yeah,
yeah, trying to combine them. Catch of the cow? Yep.
No, so last week I said to everyone, oh my God.
Okay, Boomer.
Moving on, yes?
No, last week I said Fish News was a flop and it's not coming back, but guess what? I brought it back. No, I'm not even. So, I was at my dad's the other day watching a cooking show. As you do. Yeah, well.
Was it Ready Steady Cook?
Food Network? I couldn't tell you. It wasn't. I would have known. It was.
Team Capsicum all the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep
going. Anyway, and they had some salmon, and I thought I heard them say they were milking the salmon.
What?
Yeah.
Milking them.
I left it. I was like, my head was obviously still in like Thursday radio vibes. I witnessed whoever was cooking milk a salmon. And I don't think I've ever been so shook because I didn't know you could milk a goat. And then now my favorite animal has just been milked. And
so
I got the irony
is this
out
world
of it.
Coming to?
What's the technique? is it a thrusting like all the other ones?
No. So if you have the fit. So milking a salmon is actually the technique or process or whatever you want to call it to get the caviar out. Yeah, it's just,
that's called milking it.
It's Google milking a salmon.
Milk. I'll do it right now. I'm on it.
Will come, and it's pretty much like our show is getting visual again. I'm really apologetic.
What you're doing.
So you hold the fish in one hand and like at the top, just say, and with your fingers on the bottom, you sort of like put
slide
pressure on
across.
Its stomach, I guess.
Slide it
yeah,
across.
Yeah, and it's like
with pressure.
And with the pressure, the eggs just.
Come out of where?
I don't know where. I don't know anatomy, so. But I just couldn't believe. Did you find it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. See how cool is that?
So you hold the fish in one hand, and with your bottom hand, you stroke your three fingers.
Oh, here we go.
Below it with pressure.
Here we go.
And the caviar comes out of the other end.
Pretty much.
Can you please stop doing
this? So that's how you milk a fish.
I just couldn't believe. I got straight into our little group chat, and I just couldn't believe the irony that you could milk a fish.
Because the thing is, right, we're so used to
anything.
Apparently.
We're still so used to milking things and milk coming out, but this is milking something. Why don't you just call it caviar
It's caviar.
It is caviar.
Yeah, because and that was a show. Like, it's one of those shows where it's like they go out somewhere and learn about the culture, and then whatever they've learnt about. They use that to cook. So they made some nice looking salmon dish and put the caviar on top. And I'm like,
love a bit of caviar.
I'm like, I just saw where that come from. And I'm like, I don't think I'd want to eat it. But yeah, I was just kind of shook that you could milk a fish. And I just wanted to share it.
Imagine doing that though. Imagine cooking cow and putting milk on the side. Just if you can think about it that way.
Yeah.
Oh my, do you want to hear another story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
My sheep had a lamb on the weekend.
Hey! And I got, and definitely a sheep, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Goat by
do
any
you want
chance?
Me to call Dad again?
Okay. Tony?
Tony, where are you on the phone?
I just thought I'd share that too. This is a fun facts with Trisha again. No, do you know how cool it was? Like, we watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
They'd be like
James's face.
It'd be pretty.
I don't know,
it'd be
I
pretty. I'd say it'd be pretty foul. No pun intended
yeah.
again.
Punny.
Woo! I'm just looking at images of a fish that's been milked, and it's everything is exactly as weird as you'd expect it to be.
Is that how we said?
Another visual.
Look at another visual one while we're on it.
I just can't
look at those orange balls.
It's caviar. Yeah,
caviar. Fish eggs, yeah.
I just cannot believe, like, the motion and, like, how much
the technique
eggs
is just
come out. I was watching this and I'm like my little brother sitting next to me and he was not fazed by it. I'm just like, huh?
I love this, like, the subheading on this article, which is that you're not alone in noticing the absence of nipples on a fish.
Oh my god!
That's why I was so confused when they first said milking the fish. I'm like, milk fish milk? What?
Can't be serious. You cannot be serious.
No, well, we're serious, so you can milk a fish.
I mean, they do say you learn something new every day, so I've just learned something new.
I was today's
years old when...
Yeah, I was today's old when I found out you can milk a fish.
That's good. Should we get into another tune, Jamesy boy?
Yes, we're getting to Rushing Back by Flume and Vera Blue. You're listening to James, Stephen and Brendan. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays with James, Stephen and Brendan. And it's time for Trisha's favourite part of the day, and she's going to lead us with sport.
I feel like we keep saying we should have made an intro for that, but I think that has become our intro, Trisha's favourite part of the day. So I think that one's going to stick. This week, I have decided we're going to go a bit of cricket talk.
And we're not talking about the first test today.
No, we're not. What beautiful weather last to watch it once it hits the really hot day.
Beautiful starts at 11, Gabba, so tune in.
Yeah, we will be. All right. This week has been quite a bit of an eventful week in...
the world of cricket.
Yeah, in incidents, I guess, particularly for Australian cricket. Two come to mind, and I wanted to put them both on the table, and I wanted to just ask you boys whether or not we think that the sanctions were fair. What do we think about it?
So is this a bit of a
compare the pair?
Yeah. Because same age, same income, same starting balance.
I'm definitely quite shocked about the outcome for both of these incidents. So we're going to start off first with, we're going to go with the WBBL. Player Emily Smith plays for the wicketkeeper for the Hobart Hurricanes. She was slapped with a 12-month ban for posting an Instagram photo a little bit too early. It was the team lineup, and under...
How early did she post it?
It was a couple of hours.
I think it was 2 hours early.
It was no more than 2 hours, but still it breached the
Not supposed to reveal the team lineup until the official release.
Yeah, so it comes
under... For betting purposes, obviously.
Cricket Australia said that Smith breached part of the code which prohibits disclosing inside information to any person with or without reward, whether a participant knew or might reasonably have known that such disclosure might lead to the information being used in relation to betting in relation to any match or event. So that's the official rule that she's broken. And, yeah, pretty much, Cricket Australia have banned her for 12 months for one Instagram photo, which then the game was washed out.
Bit of irony there.
The game was washed out.
So the game didn't play. I guess, in anyone's defense, she wouldn't have known that was going to happen. Like, she did post a photo that wasn't allowed to be posted. But, yeah, 12 months. Now,
12 months for that?
Yeah.
James Pattinson gets... Yeah, you go on.
And
I'll
then
let you do it. Your segment.
Thank you. So, yeah, that brings us to our next little... debate. James Pattinson was axed from the first test match following a homophobic slur against, who did we say it
Cameron
was? Cameron
Gannon.
Yeah, Cameron Gannon. We had a look at that. This was actually his third offence, not in a particular incident, but he's copped a couple of fines here and there. Yeah, and this one, he's only copped one test ban.
So one test ban comparing to a 12-month ban for an early Instagram post.
It's nuts.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Because so he, yeah.
It's an absolute... Patterson's suspension was an absolute no-brainer.
There's no space for that in the game anymore.
It's so old-fashioned. Like, it's been rubbed out of the game for at least 10 years. Like, people in the 80s, yeah, they did it. But no one does homophobic slurs these days.
Well, I suspect it still happens a lot in... look... No, it doesn't happen so much when the mics are on, let's put it that way. But yeah. I don't know. There's still a lot of culture change that needs to happen. For sure.
But we see a lot less of it. And he's just done.
But yes, he's crazy. He's absolutely insane. And it also, it makes me sad because it's a mindset thing for you to be throwing that around, you know?
And do we compare all this a bit to the Sandpaper Gate? Does that have any relevance? Because my thought on this is With the Emily Smith thing, is Cricket Australia just trying to be consistent with handing out bans and being really hard and being one of the first sporting codes to kind of take a stand for poor discipline? Like, they're trying to... You know what I mean?
But if they were to be consistent, then they would have handed Patterson the exact same ban.
Exactly.
And I would consider calling someone. Like, I don't know what he said, but I think that's...
Apparently it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's really
I think that's far more significant than a photo.
The thing, exactly right. Yeah. The thing is, it's they're trying to be consistent, but they're not. It's inconsistent with the values and the situation at hand.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I guess it's consistent with Cricket Australia's values, which perhaps are a bit. Their priorities might be a bit out of order. They are so keen to avoid any, you know, betting advantages, and they always look after the gambling side of things first. So, revealing information that was going to be revealed in an hour or two anyway, that's a big no-no, despite the fact that it's not like she revealed it to one person. She made it publicly available. It's available to anyone who checked her Instagram.
Exactly.
12 months for that. 12 months for a game that didn't even get played.
I'd give her maybe a rest of the season suspension, not 12 months. And that's at worst. That's at worst.
Meanwhile, just reverse his decisions and whatever. In this case with James Pattinson, I would have given her the one match and him the 12 months. Or not even 12 months for Pattinson, but the thing
certainly
is,
it seems fairer that way, doesn't it?
It makes more sense.
And
it makes more sense.
A first offence as well. Whereas, you know, James Patterson's previous things weren't to the extent, but he's still got a record for being a bit of a naughty boy. And he gets one test.
That's a slap on the wrist.
It is. It's a let off. It is.
It's just a reminder of where priorities lie for Cricket Australia and sport in general, which saddens me because it should be about the contest and playing hard but playing fair. It should not be about the gambling, but I guess that's the reality of it. So. Look, I think Pattinson, he was immediately repentant. He was immediately sorry for what he's done. I think it should have been a couple of matches, and then he should have been put on notice, essentially. Another incident, you know.
Definitely.
A no more kind of stance. Where, but 12 months, no way. For me, that's a couple of months.
I just can't believe it. I think you said it. Cricket Australia's values specifically are to be inclusive, and that it's a sport for all, and you know, especially because of how international it is, like, you know, about accepting different cultures and that, your sexuality shouldn't be any different. So
absolutely.
I think it's quite poor that the ban that he's received doesn't really reflect their values, that's for sure.
No, and it doesn't reflect Australia's values.
No, exactly.
Yeah, agreed. But anyway, we'll get to another song. This is Mean It by Love and Laney. Whether any of these cricket players meant it or not, only time will tell. You're listening to James, Stephen and Brendan on Sin.
That was Fado by Milky Chance. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with James, Brendan and Stephen. And speaking of Milky Chance, they released a new album on the 15th of November. They brought out some new stuff and that is one of their tunes from their new album. So I love Milky Chance as it is. I'm absolutely stoked to hear their new stuff. It's just...
You get around them a bit, don't you, Stephen?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Mind. Every time they bring out a new song, I'm all over it, and it's on my Instagram, and I'm putting things up about it because they're one of my favourite bands ever.
He's got such that distinct voice.
Oh,
that you know
it's just, yeah.
And he's got an odd name too, doesn't he, Stephen?
It's Clemons, I think. I don't actually... Is it? I don't understand his name. I just don't. It's They're German, so that's probably...
I also don't understand the 20 worst baby names of 2019.
Oh, and remember this last time, ladies and gents, we did this.
Now, last time
names.
It was the Bogan Names list. This time it's the worst names?
The worst baby names of 2019. Oh, no. Now, listen up, guys. If this goes off the rails, I apologise. Because
the last time
when this happened, we went off chops. This one here is nothing different, unfortunately. So they've categorized it into top 10 boys and top 10 girls, or bottom 10 or whatever it is. It says top 10 worst, which actually means bottom 10. But okay, we'll get started. And
oh, no.
Here we go. The top 10 worst boy baby names of 2019.
You know it's bad when Steven starts doing that laugh before he's even read the first name.
Here we go. Number one. King Messiah, all one word. King Messiah, all one word.
King Messiah. That's how you say it.
You said all as one go. King Messiah.
It's King Messiah. It's not King Messiah, it's King Messiah.
That's bizarre.
It's just
really
bizarre.
Bad.
Number two, Hugo, spelt Y-U-G-O.
Hugo, wait, you go. I go, we all go.
There it goes. Yeah, we're off. Here we go. Number three, Cub.
What, like as in Little Bear?
Yeah, so you'd be Cub.
Cub.
It works well until they get past the age of about 7, I think.
Yeah. I don't think
it becomes very weird.
Think parents
then they call him Tiger.
Yeah,
no, oh my goodness.
Tiger.
Number four, Axis. A-X-I-S, Axis.
No.
They've done it again.
X and Y axis.
Next one.
Good at maths, that guy.
Oh, true. Number five, Manson.
I just think of Charles Manson.
Manson. Yeah, that's bad. Just, that's not good.
That's terrible.
Now, talking about having a name for the rest of your life, number six, Pinchers.
Oh, he's got a cop.
The article I put in a run sheet was a different one to the one that we read, and I think it said that it was like 5 or 6 families had named their kid Pinchers.
Imagine the name of Pinchers.
Why though? Like, what's the thought behind calling your kid Pinchers?
No, apparently there's. I saw somewhere, and I don't know how true this is, but the name may have some sort of significance in another culture.
What's their nickname? Pinny.
Pinchy.
Yeah.
Pinchy. It's not
Pinchar. How you going?
Number seven. This is probably my favourite one of them all. Xavier, spelled X-X-A-Y-V-I-E-R.
Yeah, Xavier.
X-Xavier.
Oh, that's bad. That's very bad.
Oh, X-X-X.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Number eight. Cletus. I don't know about that one. That's a bit odd. That's an odd one.
Cletus.
Cletus. It sounds like one of those southern American names. Cletus.
Clav and Cletus.
Woo doggy Cletus. Number nine, Danger.
Oh, Patrick Dangerfield.
There's nothing more interesting than calling your name Danger. And then number
pretty
10.
Tough name.
Number 10, Styles, spelt Stylez.
I thought it was Stylez.
Stylez. It's that spelled.
Stylez.
Stylez. All right, onto the girl names now.
Oh, these are worse.
But wait, there's more.
These are worse.
Number one, Shy. Imagine naming your kid Shy.
You hope they'd live up to their name.
Oh,
imagine having a really outgoing girl. Oh, hi guys, this is Shy. Hi! I'm Shy!
The next one confuses me because it's Mattel, and Mattel is a name of toy brand.
Yeah, the Barbie. Yeah, dolls,
Mattel.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes through people's minds when they go, I'm gonna name my kid a name of a toy company. I don't understand.
As you do.
Now we had this name in the Bogan names, Sincere, but it's spelt Cyncere.
I have no words for you.
I don't know what to say to that.
Now, I remember the last time Ben made the joke of saying you're sincerely sincere, but you can't even say that in this case because it's spelled so incorrectly. It wouldn't even make sense.
Can you imagine, you're working in customer service or something and you go, so can you just spell that for me?
Oh, my God.
Well, if you want to promote this radio station, I'd spell sincere that way instead of put an S at the front instead of the C. It'd be sin.
Hey.
Sincere.
And so if you've called your child sincere, please let us know on the socials, Facebook
please.
Or Instagram.
Yeah, I want to find someone that either has
and
that
you
name.
Could you we might get you to be the face of sin.
There you go. Number four, Chardonnay, because there's nothing like calling your kid wine.
they can be little whiners.
Correct. Ooh. And that's probably why they did it.
Probably a little red.
Now, number five is Khaleesi. Khaleesi. Khaleesi.
I like that.
So, yeah, that one's probably the most normal and most relevant.
That's the, of course, Game of Thrones thing. Yeah. I just
imagine some, like, rapper. Like a girl rapper, Khaleesi.
Mm. Yeah, it's got that vibe to it. Yeah,
it's just because of Khalid, man. Come on. You're not even
No, it's actually of Kalani, who we're about to play one of her tracks in a second, or we might have already played it. I think she's down the order.
She's somewhere.
She's somewhere. Yeah, up
about
one.
Three
yeah.
songs.
Two songs, yeah.
Number six, and this is also in there, was Starlet. It's not Scarlet, not Charlotte, Starlet.
My little Starlet.
Don't rate that
that's
one.
Just cringy.
Mm. It's not good.
Now, this is probably my favourite one of the girls. This one's a bit of a mouthful. Now, this one, Blake Kelly. This reminds me of Key and Peele's
Aaron.
Aaron and Balaki.
Balaki, yeah.
This is
Balaki.
Close enough to that. This is spelled Blake Blakely.
Let's just go with Balaki. I love
Balaki. I'm sticking to Balaki.
Number eight, Any. You are joking.
What's your name? Any. Okay, I'll just call you Any.
Anyway!
So that's odd. Number nine, Vegas.
Why would you call your kid Vegas, though? Like, there's nothing good associated with Vegas.
I don't understand. And number 10, this is odd because it has no oomph to it. Number 10, Pansy.
Well, he's getting bullied for the rest of it. She's getting bullied for the rest of it.
That's Pansy.
Bad.
Like
Pansy, P-A-N-S-Y.
P-A-N-S-Y, correct.
That's bad. That's
I don't
really
understand.
Bad.
Like, the question I pose to the parents is,
why?
Yeah, because obviously...
Obviously.
At the time of this article, it goes, it's always a huge decision when it comes to naming a newborn. Many parents already have their top picks in their mind before the birth, but when their child arrives, they are no longer sure. But in any sense, how do you come up with the name Pinches, Cub, King Messiah, Blakely,
Vegas,
and Pansy? What makes you go, okay, I've got a name, I've got James, I've got Brendan, for example, I've got Stephen, I've got Tim. Nah, let's go Vegas.
I love how you didn't say Trisha.
No, for girls, you know, you got Trisha, Marie, for example.
You just covering said it up. James, Brendan, Stephen, and then went to Vegas, which is a girl's name
well,
anyway.
Yeah, my bad. my bad.
Covering it up.
It's all a dragon conspiracy.
Just imagine that, though. Someone going, okay, someone like, yeah, Trisha, okay, Sarah. Nah, that's my kid, a toy company, Mattel.
Don't
I like that.
The fact that you don't rate the name Trisha, Stephen.
No, it's all right.
Stephen.
Stop throwing me under the bus, James. Stop
right.
it. Oh, well, that concludes our names. Hopefully there are more because I love this segment. And it's just,
you love a good, funny name.
I think next week you should just roast our names and give us all a new name.
There's nothing to roast about your names, though. They're fine.
Trisha Marie.
The judgmental Stephen tick of approval, do we?
Yeah. You do.
Oh.
You guys are lucky. You're
certified.
Certified Zeus. I'm telling you that now.
The man with the weirdest last name of all of us.
Oh, I love it. It's one of the most easiest Greek names you'll ever get. I'm telling you that now. Four letters, no opolis at the end.
So, right. Well, thank you for that, Steve.
No worries. It's always a pleasure. It's
Let's
a pleasure.
Get into a song.
Chicha's Lizard of Marbles.
Oh, no.
What song are we playing?
We're playing Used to Love by Martin Garrix and Dean Lewis. One of my favourites at the moment. You're listening to James, Brendan and Stephen on scene.
Ridiculous quiz coming up.
Woo!
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with James, Stephen and Brendan. We are cruising through the morning here. It's 7:36 now.
Certainly are.
Yeah, and we're getting ready to get out in the heat in a little bit longer.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a very warm one.
Oh, so for sure. I thrive in this weather, though.
You do.
I'm not very good, but I'll give it a try. I'm that burned to a crisp kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit.
There's
of
no in between with me. It's either you're pale or you're tomato.
Yeah, yeah. There's no such thing.
I've tried it.
You caught yourself, Greek.
I mean, you know, look, you know, if I had to try and tan, I'd have to go overseas. That's the only way I can do it. I went to Greece and Italy. That's all I did. But here, this ozone layer of ours, what are you doing up there? Come on. Provide us with some stuff, please. But
isn't it shrinking?
Doesn't feel like it.
No, I'm pretty sure it's repairing itself.
Yeah, I think the hole is repairing itself after the reduction of certain chemical usage. But anyway, that's not exciting. What we're here to talk about. Given the weather has been a little bit interesting, things are getting going a bit early with our summer. I've thought, what better time to have Ridiculous Quiz than now and talk about weather. That's right. Most thrilling thing going around.
Up the Jane Bun. Up the Jane Bun.
So, it is Ridiculous Quiz. It has been a week since we last played, and in that time, James has been getting increasingly arrogant about his chances.
I only need one more.
4-2-1?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A 4-1-1, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Four, I think it might be 4-1.
No, oh, wait.
How many shows? Yeah, we got. Yeah,
4-1-1,
this is our 7.
Yeah,
it has to be
4-1-1. Yeah.
Because I remember saying last week, what's the 4-1-1?
Yeah, it's 4.
4-1-1. Yeah, sounds like a soccer formation, mate.
So, Stephen and I are joining up. We've decided we're separately.
So, are we on 2 now officially? Or?
So, what is it? You guys are joining up because if you don't, you'll sabotage each other so no one can win.
Correct.
So, really, it's now 4-2.
Yeah.
And it's them versus you desperate showdown to try and stop
the
James train.
So we're combining their points.
We are. Combining everything.
You win this, though, and...
It's all over.
The James train has to be stopped somehow. We're doing it by getting these two to combine forces. Let's see how you go with some weather.
that's how you know I'm unstoppable if we don't.
Yeah.
I'll start with a... All right, are we ready to go?
Did Stephen win one just because I was away?
Yeah, the one week you're away, I won.
Quick question. Do we have to say... Trisha or Stephen, it counts for us?
No, you guys are Jane Bun. And I'm Rebecca
Judd. No, because do you remember last time I didn't know who Trisha was and I called her?
Well, we need to be news meteorologist.
Very good. I'll take meteorologist.
I'm happy with Jane Bun. I'll just say Jane Bun.
I have no idea who that is.
I'll be Beck Judd.
Jane Bun is a 7 News
and I think
weather reporter. 9.
How? I'm not even going to go
and
into how
who's
you know
that guy
this.
That's been doing it for about 15 years on Channel 10 and he's always at some primary school?
The questions may need to be asked.
Alright, so James Bun.
Jane Bun.
You weren't here for the Shrek episode last
season. I don't think I was.
Oh, we're going to listen to that.
It's about Gingy.
Anyway, before off topic, let's go with the Ridiculous Quiz.
Thank you, James.
Jane.
Sorry, Beck Judd.
Can I just say Jane? Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah, Jane Bun.
All right, what was the highest temperature ever recorded in Australia? Was it 53.1 degrees at Marble Bar, WA, 52.5 at Timber Creek, Northern Territory, 50.7 at Oodnadatta Airport, South Australia, or 49.2 at Wynnum? Oh, Beck got him first.
It was 52 degrees. No, it was B.
No, it wasn't.
Jane Bun?
Go, Jane.
That's what I was going to say.
You're wrong as well. Oh. I haven't even said D yet. You've got, so there's 50-50 chance now for you over there, Beck. 50.7 at Oodnadatta Airport or 49.2 at Wynnum Airport, WA.
Beck Judd, it'd have to be 57.
So it was 50.7.
50.7.
But yes, it was that, correct.
Sandwich, Trish, this is not a good start.
I'm just going to shut up.
How many questions are
there? I thought it was going
to
be
There's a few. It's, as ever, it's of course first to three. And you got to be win out, right?
So two more questions to go then.
No. None of that attitude. Let's go.
All right. Only found in Western Australia, what is the Fremantle Doctor?
Beck Judd.
Yes, Beck?
It's a breeze that goes over...
Correct. It's a breeze that comes in. It's often referenced in the cricket is where you know it from. But yes, a wind that comes in off the coast in Perth. Yep. In Fremantle specifically.
I wouldn't have known that.
You've got to watch some more cricket this summer, guys. And it is coming up later today, I believe.
It is. First test at the Gabba. Tune in 11.
Oh, dear. That means that you are about to win. We're in all sorts of trouble. all right. Okay. We'll go for this one. What is the lowest temperature ever recorded in Australia? Not good with your colds. Was it minus 23 degrees at Charlotte Pass, New South Wales? Minus 19.2 at Taralea Village, Tassie? Was it minus 15.7 at Falls, Victoria? Or was it minus 11.5 at Butler? Yes, Beck?
It was 19 degrees. Minus 19 degrees.
It wasn't minus 19.2 degrees.
I was thinking geography then.
Now, I'm going to go on a limb and say minus 23.
You are correct.
Yes!
Thank God.
We're back. All right. The comeback is on.
I told you. I wasn't good with my cold.
Because Charlotte Pass is one of the coldest places, and I have seen that before. I have seen that somewhere.
Thank you so much.
I don't
much
know where, but
that.
I have. Okay, let's
okay,
go.
Okay, the recovery's on. I mean, again, I don't know why you guys don't wait for the last answer when he can't go in again because it's your turn after he's had the first go.
That one I knew.
That one you knew? All right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there.
I was going to say Tassie, so I'm lucky.
All right. Which of these capital cities receives the highest yearly rainfall on average? Hobart, Perth, Canberra, Melbourne.
Beck Jodd.
Yes, Beck.
Canberra.
Incorrect.
What do we think? You said Canberra.
Yes, which leaves Perth,
not Perth,
Hobart.
So Melbourne and Hobart are the other two?
Melbourne, Hobart, Perth.
It's got to be one of them.
Come on, guys.
I know which one it is now.
What do you reckon we go with?
Hobart.
We'll go with Hobart.
You're wrong.
It's Melbourne. Back job.
You're also
Melbourne.
Wrong.
Perth!
Oh, yeah! We're back! Two all! I knew that was a trick question. Because the rain comes in from the west. Oh, and it comes in first.
You should have said it. That's right.
The weather
comes
from
west. We've got
west
it. That's right. Come
it
on.
It doesn't matter.
I almost don't believe it. I also almost question whether this quiz is wrong, but it's ABC, so it must be right. Apparently, it receives 732.8 millimetres on average.
Just in heavier rainfalls, it's not like constant. It's just heavy.
Yeah, it must just come in heavy during winter. All right, well, we'll go with it. No one's back checking us, so.
Oh, this is terrible.
So is that too
James
old?
James is feeling it.
All right, then you're going to have to be quick on this one because I suspect you both know it. In Australia, what is often known as a Willy Willy?
We don't know.
Come on. Well, all right. You want some answers?
Yeah, I will.
I would have thought you'd know this one. This is
A Willy Willy.
Willy Willy.
What is known
Let
as a Willy?
Chew on it for a while. Come on.
Sounds a bit R-rated.
All right, is it a snowstorm, a small inland tornado, a weather forecaster, or a sudden flood?
Beck Judd.
Yes, Beck.
What was B?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
A small inland tornado?
Yep.
Correct.
Oh,
and
no.
The ridiculous quiz winner.
The quiz winner is James, which means we can go home now.
We didn't go down without a fight, though, let's be honest. We came back
and scared.
I must say, I was real scared
there.
Damn.
I thought I was going to choke.
The looks in the studios when I said Willy Willy, they were pretty priceless. There was a bit of confusion and concern about where that was
going.
Quick question. Are we scrapping this segment now?
Well, yeah, I don't know what we do. I guess we can all just go home. I won't turn up for the rest of the season. The quiz host, that's my only job here. So have fun with the rest of the season, guys.
Thanks, man.
So what have we got today? We've got one. We've got two.
We've got three or four more shows.
We've only got three shows.
Turns out that James was a bit of a good thing today, I'd say. And that's why we're now going to play.
No. What is it? 5 and 2. We've got three shows. We can draw it.
Yeah, but I'm in America for one.
Oh, well, that's a guaranteed win to these guys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
two shows I'm not here for.
No, next week's the last one.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Because if you win it next week, you win. But if we can draw it.
There'll always be an asterisk next to your name if you win. Because I'm away for two shows. So you guys get two free
wins.
Well,
one thing is guaranteed. We do know how to drag it out here on the Serial Thursdays and make it last as long as possible. We're found away, Trish. James, you are a good thing. So we're going to play Good Thing by Zed and Kalani here. Enjoy.
Oh, are we?
We are?
I believe so.
Yeah, Trisha put a note at the bottom. If James wins Ridiculous Quiz, we are playing at the new Coldplay song.
Can you just stall so I can get the playlist back?
Anything you'd like to say to your audience?
No, not really.
I'm used to winning this. So.
Oh, here we go.
You arrogance.
We'll just get rid of him.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sydney the Thursday team. James, Brendan, and Stephen, and it's time for entertainment news.
Well, we
ladies
like to
and
keep
gentlemen.
People updated on what's going
on
in the world of entertainment, even if we don't really know what's happening ourselves.
We don't either.
It's an absolute bluff.
Pretty much all of our entertainment news is just us talking about reality TV shows.
Which, is, but isn't
minutes.
That entertainment though? It is.
Yeah, it definitely is. And speaking of reality TV shows, Married at First Sight. There was a wedding, an official one, not a fake one that the whole show is based off. And Cam and Jules did get married, so congratulations to them. And it was televised on A Current Affair. They did a whole A Current Affair episode of it and talked about them. They saw we got to see all the contestants as guests, and it was pretty interesting. And they were probably one of the couples off that season that were successful, because I feel like everyone else didn't really...
Yeah, they all end up hating each other by the end normally. Mm. But I just love that A Current Affair is sticking to serious, groundbreaking journalism there.
Oh, like always. Things. It hasn't changed.
Yeah, just top shelf stuff. The thing I'm interested in is, like, is this the first time we've seen, outside of the show itself and the commitment ceremonies and whatnot, some couples actually married in real life? Because, yes, after the show they say, oh, yeah,
we're still together, but they never get married.
No. This is the first. I think for me, this is the first time I've actually seen it or heard that be the case.
Yeah, because I know Eden, who was on Love Island season one, got with Cyrell, and they're a thing, and everyone's kind of mentioning them and stuff. But in terms of marriage, I don't think any reality TV stars really end up doing, or we don't hear if
we
they
don't
do.
Hear
we
anything.
Don't hear it. We don't hear about it. So this one was pretty televised, and it was just because how good of a couple they were. Not a dull moment. They were good from start to finish. They didn't have any problems. They fought like
that
once.
Would make for bad TV then.
They yeah. They fought maybe once in the whole series, and it would have been because they stole each other's chocolate or something. Like, it would have been something really trivial that. So they didn't fight. So I think it was just about a feel-good story and televising that. So they got married, and, yeah, you don't hear much about that. But anyway, do you have any news for us? Any entertainment around the globe?
You got nothing for us.
I'm not a reality TV person. I'll fill the gap then. That's the thing. I'm not.
This is one of my favourite stories going around at the moment, just because it is so ridiculous. It is that Beyoncé's 7-year-old daughter, Blue Ivy, could be up for a Grammy. Blue Ivy Carter has won a songwriting award at the age of 7 and could not be nominated.
What?
You mean her mum wrote the song for her and got her a nominee?
So
or?
Apparently Blue
Can she
Ivy
even write
yet?
She's 7.
No.
I couldn't write when I was 7.
We were barely learning to write.
I didn't know what a lowercase letter
was
when I was 7.
We came from 1 to 100.
Does he know what a lowercase letter is now?
She's getting Grammys at the age of 7 years old.
He studies English at uni, but anyway.
Oh, what's the song?
Is he just writing all caps lock?
The question I want to know is, what is the song about? At 7 years old, what are you singing about?
Well, her breakup,
if you stop ranting, if you stop ranting, I can tell.
Fair enough.
No, she co-wrote her mother's hit Brown Skin Girl, apparently. So if Blue Ivy gives a vocal performance that opens and closes the song, which also features Wizkid and St. Jin. And thus she's co-credited, and as such, she won a songwriting award and could be up for a Grammy.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
God.
She beat out people like Khalid, Anderson Park, H.E.R., Lizzo, and Chris Brown / Drake.
I don't even know where to go.
Free ride. Armchair ride to a Grammy.
See, now I have to listen to this song and see whether it's worth listening to, if that's the case.
Or if it's worth a Grammy.
Exactly right. I don't know.
I want to rev Stephen up a bit more. Did you see your girl made the news this week as well?
Swiftie?
Yeah. Did you get on top of that?
No.
What's happening with Taylor Swift? We like a bit of Tay Tay on Sin. Not Stephen.
No,
but,
I don't. You know me very well now, guys. It's just not my area. Not my area of expertise, but just not my area of interest. Okay. But yes, I did hear about things that are going on in Swiftie's life.
No, well, there's new news.
More new news.
Lover did not make the cut for Album of the Year at the Grammys, apparently.
Well, I'm not complaining.
Stephen in a vote.
Fans are outraged, apparently.
They're outraged. In all honesty, as much as I take, you know, the mickey out of Taylor Swift, the situation that she's in with her management is
poor,
very, very poor. And I do feel bad for her in that situation. However, in other I just don't.
Don't get into it.
No, I don't. The music itself, like, with the situation that she's in, I reiterate, is stiff.
I do not
understand why they won't let her perform her own songs.
Yeah. I don't and her old song money. It's so
it is ridiculous and it's ludicrous. But at the same time, yeah.
All right. Let's get away from you being angry about Taylor Swift, because I want to talk about the fact that, guess what album did get nominated instead?
Which one?
It was Lil Nas X. Seven, I think it was called.
Does that have an Old Town Road?
It did. But
that's probably what.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But that's not the, that's the only song I know of it.
Did Khalid get a nomination?
Surely. Who else got? So, Bon Iver, Lana Del Rey, Billie Eilish. No surprises there. That'll probably win it. Thank You Next, Ariana Grande, H.E.R., Lizzo, and Vampire Weekend. They'll all vie for best album.
Some odd
How on earth did Lil Nas X get in there? Sure, he had one massive song on that album. It was huge. And then there was something called Panini, which I may have heard once. I don't really remember. But how do you get an album of the year based off one song?
Two meme songs.
And everyone's getting behind it. That's probably what it is. That's probably my.
He's going to rot until
I'm still tipping Billie Eilish to win, though.
Eyelash?
Yeah, Billie Eilish.
Oh, Stephen, you don't disappoint sometimes. Anyway, some guy that should be nominated for a Grammy is Khalid. We're playing his hot new track right now, Up All Night. You're listening to James, Stephen, and Brendan on Sin.
Let's get ready to set Serial. Good morning, Melbourne. It is 8 o'clock and we are looking forward to another massive hour of the Get Serial Thursdays show. We will be strolling with Streb, which should be fun as always. Streb's warming up. He's limbering up.
I won't be on Swanston Street.
No, he's going. You're wandering a bit further, are you?
Yeah, Melbourne Central.
I look forward to it. Yeah, I can see he's stretching up already. Got to take these things seriously. There we go. We're going to have a bit of a chat about the real price of fair abating. Tom Denham is going to come in, our executive producer, for a rap battle, so stay tuned for that. That should be an absolute riot. And, of course, we're going to play some of the best music going around, or at least what James considers to be some of the best music going around. A bit of Liam Payne, a bit of Medusa, you name it, we've got Medusa. It.
Coldplay.
Get Keen, yes, the brand new Coldplay song out overnight, I believe. So look out for that. First of all, we've got Summer Fade by Snake Hips. Enjoy, you're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin. Listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with James, Stephen and Brendan. And James, you've got a story to tell, I hear.
Yeah, it's fair-evading. And on public transport. And I feel like Mikey's, they can be a little bit expensive. They can be. They
can be. Yes.
What was it? $4.40 a ride.
That is correct.
That's standard price.
In the mornings now, the trains when I come in, but before 7 o'clock, it's free.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
If you touch on before 7 o'clock, your whole day is free.
So whoa.
I think that's how it is. So I'm
surely not.
So catch a train, save some money.
Mind blown.
Really? I think it is free before. It is definitely free before seven. It's definitely free before then. Now, if it is,
so your journey is free if you touch on and off before 7:15 on a weekday.
There you go.
What about at night? Woo. Because sometimes I'll touch off and it's like 000 deducted.
That's if you've maxed out. So you get capped each day at, I think.
Ah.
Yeah, there is a maximum amount you can spend each day, after which you don't spend any more.
That's nice.
And apparently, if you first touch on it after 6 p.m., you can travel until 3 a.m. the next day for the same 2-hour Mikey fair price. Mm. So there are some good deals there. But it can still be expensive, except yes.
And my understanding is that it will be expensive if you get caught fair evading.
It is.
I can personally attest to that.
I think it's $50 upright, which isn't bad if you've got cash on you, because they won't take card. They'll take a Mikey card. They won't take the actual card.
They used to take cards, so I have personal experience with this.
Oh, go ahead.
You want me to tell my sob story?
Yeah, because I don't have
the beans.
So having a great weekend in Melbourne, back when I lived in the country, things were going well. I was staying way out at a mate's house, got on the tram, went to tap on my Mikey, and of course, I was out of Mikey money. I went, there's nowhere to fill up my Mikey here. I didn't have online stuff set up at that point. I went, all right, I'm just going to roll with it. Going to a concert. I'm feeling good about life. It'll be fine. What could go wrong? 10 minutes later, I found out exactly what can go wrong when the Mikey inspectors got on the tram and I just had that sinking feeling in my stomach. I went, oh no. Oh,
some
no.
are disguised. I've had a disguise.
I have. Yeah. And they pull the badge out. These guys were actually fully dressed up, so I knew. But you can normally tell them anyway, by the way, they kind of walk in as a group.
Yeah, they go like
a little gang.
But anyway, look, to be fair, I was doing the wrong thing, but I thought that one was pretty harsh because there was no way for me to refill my Mikey in that time.
You didn't get out of your Mikey in. Fine?
No.
Because I have three times.
You've been out three times?
Three times.
What?
He's got away with words.
First time I was in a free tram zone, which didn't end up being free later on down the track. And I said that I wasn't from this area. I was from Sydney. And they boarded and told me to just buy a Mikey so when I came back I wouldn't get charged in case I was another inspector.
God.
Next time I started talking another language and I can't talk another language and they bought that as well. I acted as a foreign tourist. I just remember yelling, I'm like papa papa like that. Like, yeah, and they bought that
one.
Are
you serious?
But you
don't look like a foreigner though. Like.
And the third.
You seriously yell papa papa.
No papa, like as in I had like my dad was somewhere. Like papa papa, like that.
I suppose there are some advantages to looking 12.
So they're like, oh, this kid's scared and his dad's gonna come, so we'll leave him alone, and they just left.
They just left him at the scene, the crime. Oh my god!
I think the third time I just refused to, and they left me alone.
You're joking.
So I've got out of. Fair evading.
We do not promote
this on the show, fair evading. And you're going to pay the price because I think it's 50 upright. And then if you don't pay it upright, it's up to about $200.
At the time, it was $70 upright or $220 later. So this was the brutal part of it. It's very clever, but essentially they make you, instead of all the hassle of later on, they just make you pay on the spot, which is what I did. I went, $220. I'll just pay the 70.
Yeah.
And I did.
It's really disappointing for you as well because most of the states in a show when you go into a concert or like gigs and stuff like that, public transport is free. Yeah.
I know in Perth and they Melbourne have free rides to the footy.
Yeah. So yeah. Perth, I know I've been to Sydney and I've been to up in Queensland and that, and every time I've gone to a gig or to sport, it's free to
but
public
it's
transport.
Because how do they know in Victoria we've got 10 different footy teams?
No,
it's
because
not like,
you need
Perth.
You need to keep your ticket. No, so if you have your ticket on you, rather than using your card or whatever it is in each state, you have to have your actual ticket on you, and that's your ticket for the day on the public transport.
That's
fair. Yeah.
But the bit that just blows my mind is all I have to do here is just start mumbling another language like James over here.
Got out of it.
It's not going to work forever, mate. You can't run forever. You know it's easier just to actually...
Oh, no, I tap on these days. I don't do it. These are my rebel days.
You can't really get to the gates at Melbourne Central Station without touching on unless...
Oh, no. And that's why I brought this up is the other day, and I haven't even got to this bit of the story yet, but the other day I was on a train going to work before I met Bono. And a guy got off at Flinders. And he just ran right through and jumped over the gate. He just ran and jumped over. And the person there just couldn't be stuffed chasing him. So what how easy. Do? Like, if there's just gates, just get off and just run and have a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
Hurdles. Just hurdles.
Yeah.
Practice for the 2020 Olympics.
Exactly.
Tokyo's bound. Tokyo's
bound. My favourite one is when I saw a couple of Mikey inspectors, some plainclothes ones. They came on and got somebody, picked them up, but... Then, while they were on there, they were about to hop off, and there was this, presumably homeless man, but he was openly drinking alcohol on the train.
and they
just told him to tuck it away, put it in his bag, so, and they're like, that's it.
So the ticket and the fine was more important than public drinking, is that what you're saying?
They knew that couldn't do it. Nah, they could, I actually thought it wasn't bad. I thought, for this guy, what are they going to do? He was... But yes, it was an interesting moment. That's
benefit
for sure.
Of the doubt. The thing I loved about
just put it away, mate.
Okay, at school we used to call them tickies, ticket inspector tickies, right? Yeah. So the thing I loved about that was we used to get on the train, and when there were ticket inspectors, the people that didn't touch on, running to the end of the carriage to get off, run to the next carriage and sit there and watch them just in case, because they knew a whole lot of people from my school. never used to touch on them. Yeah. And they used to see the ticket inspectors and get up to the next station. It was the most obvious thing you could ever think of. But they can't do anything about it. So it's good fun. It's funny. But it's funny. But
again, we do not condone breaking the law here at Sin.
Due to fair evading, I am going down to Melbourne Central very shortly to see if everyone's tapping on.
Good form.
And touching off.
That's the way.
Looking
forward.
You're
at guys doing hurdles. That's the way.
I hope so. Anyway, we'll get into another song. This is Stack It Up by Liam Payne and A Boogie With A Hoodie.
Ooh.
You're listening to James, Stephen and Brendan on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin. We are cruising through your morning here. It should be warming up nicely outside by now. Streb's already got his walking shoes ready. He's ready to go out there.
I'm ready.
Strolling with Streb. Getting excited for that. But first, I think I have to bring a sequel to you. A sequel in an ongoing saga in my life. I hope you all remember. But for those that don't or who missed it, I'll tell a bit of the story. I know Stephen's not aware.
I'm keen to hear this, though.
So part one was a tale of woe, is that I've had a few things go missing from my house in Brunswick West, a lovely part of the woods.
Some nice leafy suburb.
Yeah, it has a real dark...
Crime rate's normally low down in Brunswick.
Good old Melville Road, gotta love it.
Know Melville Road very well. Low to mild, I'd say, occasionally. Yeah. So I had clothes go missing off my line, pretty standard. I was a bit disappointed. Anything with a sports logo on it, essentially. A big tick, so to speak, just disappeared.
That's the one.
That was a bit frustrating. And then I had my helmet go missing, and also my bike light from inside my garage, and that one made me a little bit mad because
you need your bike light when it gets a bit dark,
annoying.
Especially in winter when it gets dark at 5. And you
but then
ride?
Then when things went really weird, and this is when I had my rant a good few weeks ago now, someone stole my bike seat off my bike.
You're kidding?
I am not.
There's
kidding.
A bike robber out there.
That's petty.
And he's taking the whole part bike- by part. He's come back just to take, first off, it was a helmet, then the light, now the seat.
It was extremely odd. And at this point...
He's building his own recyclable bike. Let him be.
At this point, I was like, at this point, the bike was unlocked too. I was just cannot believe he didn't take the whole bike.
The logic out of 10.
Look, I've accepted that now, but at the time, your reaction was me, except I was, I don't know, it was that on steroids.
Yeah.
I was just bemused, I was baffled, and it was highly frustrating too, because not only did they take the seat, obviously, they took the stem bit for the seat, the pole, and, you know, that it's connected to.
Yeah,
and so I had to try and buy one of those as well. The whole thing was a disaster. I now lock my bike up.
Yeah.
But theoretically, someone could still steal my seat because
how do you lock
down a seat?
You can't lock down a seat unless you put like a zip tie around it. But even then, it's not going to work.
No, it's not a good idea. But this is where it gets really weird. We got a buzz on the intercom the other day, on our old school intercom. And my housemate picks up the phone, looks at me, hands me the phone. So I'm like, all right, this could be anything. So let's see what happens here. It's our neighbours who also had their bike seat stolen at the same time, by the way. So whoever it was stole multiple bike seats.
It's a bike seat burglar out there, and he's on the loose.
But this is where it gets really odd. He goes, hey, come downstairs and check out what I found. He's found this boiler room that's down in our garage area that I'd never seen before because it's further down the garages. It's the creepiest room you have ever seen. Like, legitimately.
Oh, I bet. Boiler rooms just sound creepy. When you said boiler room, I just automatically envisioned this shocking room.
It's immediately like a chilling, it gives you a chill in the back of your spine. Yeah.
It really was, because it's right tucked in the back
of
the garage.
What was your neighbour doing in the boiling room?
He'd gone in there for the first time ever, never been in there before. He'd seen this door and gone, oh, I wonder what's in here.
So anyway, as you do.
As you do.
Don't open the door that looks dodgy. But yeah.
It's right down his end of the garages too. So it made more sense. I'd never even seen the room. But anyway, so you open it up and the place is absolutely terrifying. It's got a toilet that doesn't look like it's been used since 1985. That's still connected. Why on earth do you have a toilet
on the ground floor in the boiler room?
No, it makes literally no sense. I don't know if someone once lived in there. What is going on? It's super weird. So many questions there. And then, of course, you've got your boilers. It's all pretty standard. But this is where it gets weird. What is sitting there? But two bike seats. His bike seat and my bike seat are sitting in the boiler room.
Are you joking?
So someone was
I am not joking you. Someone stole our bike seats and put them in the creepy boiler room. Why? Why would you do that?
That is the most odd story I've heard in a very, very long time.
Like, this just none of it makes sense.
So your bike...
0%.
So the question I have is, the bike light and the helmet, have you found them yet? Or did you have to get new ones?
No, they're gone.
So they weren't down there either?
They were stolen at separate points. So,
someone has gone to the effort to steal your neighbour and your bike seat and not move them anywhere else out of the vicinity of the building, except for the creepiest building in the bottom
floor.
They've
just put them in the creepiest room in the whole place.
What is the point?
I know! So there's two theories going around here. Put on your detective caps for a moment. Yeah. Theory A is that someone stole the bike seats, was about to get caught, panicked, hid in the boiler room, and dropped the bike seats off there. I think that one's a long shot, but that's the one the other guy from our block was thinking. I went, that seems long shot to me. My theory is that someone had a few too many waters, or maybe even a few too many lemonades, so to speak.
Yeah.
Thought this would be the funniest prank ever. Stolen two bike seats and then just chucked them in the creepiest room in the place. I think that one's the more likely one. I think it's someone from within the block.
You don't think anyone would just live in there and use that as chairs?
But why? What are you going to do with bike seats?
The thing is, bike seats are uncomfortable. Some of them can be really uncomfortable as it is. Why would you want to use it as a seat?
And they're somewhat, like, you have to be somewhat coordinated to actually take the bike seat off. The whole... don't get me started.
It's an intricate,
takes process. Effort to take a bike seat off. And he's also only got two of the nicer bike seats. I had a semi-nice bike seat. He had just doesn't make any sense to me. So now I have two bike seats because I went and bought another one.
Oh, my God.
So there's now a bike seat sitting in my lounge room. So if anyone wants a bike seat, I'm happy to do a giveaway on radio.
So weird.
Hit us up on the socials if you want a bike seat.
It's a pretty random thing
that,
to just
that is...
Complete with pole, I might add.
I am generally weirded out.
Moral of the story, don't steal bike seats! What?
Oh, no.
Don't steal bikes and then put them in the creepiest room in a building. That's the next thing.
Just don't get me started.
He probably thought, no one's going to go down here. No one's going to even suggest that there's two bike seats sitting in a hot room.
Well, look, I'm about to lose control at this point, and that's our next song. It is Lose Control by Medusa, Becky Hill, and the Good Boys. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on scene with James, Brendan and Stephen. And it's that time of the show where Jimmy Boy goes out for a bit of a walk and we sit in the studio and listen to him.
We certainly do. Yeah, look, he loves to go for a bit of a wander out there. It's just kind of his style, really, isn't it? He likes to get out on the streets. He likes to get to know the common man.
He does. He does. And, you know, it's not James without having a bit of a chat, so...
Oh, absolutely. He's got to have a chat.
He has that knack, the social skills.
Social skills. He's got some form of social skills. Let's have a bit of a listen to certain songs.
We're strolling with Streb. Strolling, 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 strolling. With your Thursday team. On Swanson Street.
It's groovy, I must add. You know,
it certainly
you can't
is.
Not sit here and have a bit of a bop, you know?
Absolutely. Now, I believe we have James on the line. James, can you hear us?
Yes, I certainly can. I'm down underground in Melbourne Central. Everyone looks to be getting off the train and into work.
As they do. I think that's what you do at a train station, don't
but
you think?
The important part is, are they fare-evading or are they tapping on and off correctly?
They seem to be tapping on all of them, actually, which is good. There's not too many people monitoring the gates, so it's a very easy day to ferrovade if you're a ferrovade.
Goodness
and,
me.
But, of course, it's not easy because you have the most stringent inspector of all, James, down there, isn't that right?
Yeah, so I'm just monitoring the lines as we speak, and there's people giving out cards. There's a lot of promotions going on at Melbourne Central. A lot of people... going in and out the gates, and yeah, they're doing their job correctly, so I can't really tell anyone off.
Well, it's always nice to hear that citizens are obeying the law.
Yeah, they are obeying the law, and that's what you want.
You can't ask for much more than
that. But do you know what I do like these days? If you have a certain branded phone, you can actually get the Mikey on your phone.
It is a bit mind blowing, isn't it? Yes, if you've got anything with the Android operating system, that is correct.
You can actually top up. You can actually top up on your phone as well, and top up from there, and then have to worry about going to like one of those, you know, manual ones.
Yeah. Look,
although I do like the manual ones. To be fair, I like, you know, chucking the cash in and topping up. But
yeah,
guys, I have just had a tsunami of people just rolling through the gate. I'm talking about Thailand 2004. It's absolutely going off. So it's a good price to just bust through the gate if you want to. I've actually got a guy telling me I can't be filming here.
Huh?
So just behind me, we have to go up. We have a permit for Snapchat. Snapchat. So we need a permit to film for Snapchat, I've told him. So that's the visual side of it done.
This is the
some guy just told me.
Beauty of live radio. You never know what you're gonna get. You
so did he just come up to you and just say that, or is he like an official or something? Or
yeah, it was an official. He was an official, and the only person getting fined today is me.
Did you show him your Mikey? Did that help?
No, I just told him that to kind of get stuck.
As James would, mate. Now, we said it was good with talking to people. We didn't say how we did it, though. That's the difference.
I kept on doing it for about 30 seconds after seeing him waving his finger.
No!
Not without a fight.
Well, he's remarkably dedicated, our man James Strebanos. Now, while you are there today, of course, Melbourne Central is your favourite place for a basic date, I'm told.
It is.
That's right.
Just up the escalators near the pancake parlour and that wooden chair there near the Irish pub.
Yeah. Fair enough. So is there anyone, does it look like there's anyone getting in an early bird date, or is there any tips you'd like to give while you're there on the ground?
Oh, not really. I think the clock's about to come out and strike. So I'm near the Melbourne Central clock.
Can I just say, most overrated attraction in Melbourne, that clock?
Oh, bad. I don't get why everyone just meets under it.
It's just
a smart, I think. It's like, meet under the clock, everyone knows where it is.
It's the same with the clocks at Flinders Street. But the bit that gets me is how many people film.
They film that clock, and it's like, cool,
a thing drops down, and it makes a tune.
Or the basic photo of the tower, of the shot tower. Everyone's like, oh, I'm at Melbourne Central, and then they just take a photo of the shot tower.
See, I rate the shot tower a whole lot more than the clock, but everyone's always taking video of the clock.
It's nostalgic. It gives it a nice old feel, and it's pretty historical. It's iconic.
It certainly is iconic, yeah. Oh. Well, any last words before we let you go there in Melbourne Central?
Just it's really warm for 8... What is it? Well, it's 5:32 in the morning, so yes. It's very hot.
Yeah. Look, we do love your weather forecast when you're out on the streets. So what clothes should we be wearing today?
Oh, definitely get the singlets out, unless you burn like Steven.
Yep.
it's very windy, though, so I don't know. It's just something to protect you.
Yeah, well, it's always good to bring protection. Isn't that right, James?
That's right. I've been caught that way too many times.
Ah,
oh,
boy.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you again for another great Strolling with Streb. Say hi to
Streb. I reckon it hit its peak this morning, actually, guys.
What was that?
I reckon it hit its peak this morning.
Oh, you reckon we're peaked?
I reckon we're finally peaked. I'm happy with that.
Well, try not to get told off by any more inspectors. I'm surprised you didn't just start pretending to speak in another language like you normally do.
Oh, well, you know what? When you're on live radio, you just can't promote it.
No, fair enough. We're going to get into another tune here, which is Better Life with Marla, I believe. But thank you very much, Streb, for another great Strolling with Streb.
No worries. See you in a sec.
See you in the studio soon. It's always a ride, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Our rapper with Tom's coming up soon, so stick around for that as well.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin with James, Stephen and Brendan. And it is our absolute pleasure to also be joined in the studio today by executive producer and all-round extraordinaire Tom Denham.
Hi there.
Hello.
We instantly have to drop our voices down a bit lower to match his deep power.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, actually, I've got to say.
Oh, thanks, man. I've been working on it really hard.
So what's your training for this kind of thing?
Oh, well, I just watched a lot of Steve Buscemi films.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, he's good.
That's good.
And just eat a lot of haggis.
I'm surprised you don't have the Mo going from November. You love a good stash.
Oh, I do like a sneaky stash. But you know what? I shaved all my hair off recently and I was waiting for the hair to grow out, but then the beard just went... And it's uncontrollable, and I just...
Yeah, the beard's looking magnificent,
mate. Oh, thank you.
Now, while we've got you on, before we do get into the rap battle that we have lined up with you, this is a good opportunity for you to plug your other projects here at Sin. So go on, plug away.
Absolutely. Well,
what else do you do here?
In the next studio happening right now, I'm about to record a couple of episodes of my podcast, Right on Track, where we review all things Thomas the Tank Engine. So if you love a nostalgia trip... Oh, it's definitely up your alley.
Yes.
And that is beautiful.
I'm currently working on an auxiliary podcast with Art Sminen called The Glam Gizmo. It's a fiction podcast audio play. So take a sneaky ear and have a sneaky listen to that as well.
Take a sneaky ear? Yep.
Take a sneaky ear. Or a normal ear.
just take any ear you can get.
Yeah.
I particularly love your Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. I mean, there's nothing better than three grown men talking about Thomas the Tank Engine. I think that's a great pitch in itself.
Look, it's beautiful. When we get lost in a moment, that's a wonderful moment in studio.
Tom, just quickly, obviously there's Thomas the Tank Engine, but who's your favourite train on that show?
Yeah, that's critical.
Oh, look. Oh, that's like choosing your favourite child. Not that I have any, but I will one day. But it has to be good old Gordon, the mighty big blue fella. I think him and I relate a lot on a spiritual level. Him and I have both very bassy voices and we're both quite pompous as well. So,
I think for me we're doing something like a Toby maybe.
Oh, I just love the fat controller.
Going a bit Art Deco there.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah,
go the fat controller.
I love the fat controller. You've got to love the fat controller.
Oh, yeah.
What an absolute... I mean, he's a bit of an asshole at times, but...
Yeah.
he's always got their backs. He's always got their insurance covered. And he makes the trains run on time, which we can't really do here in Australia.
Exactly, yeah.
So.
We need our own back control.
Are there any miking inspectors on Thomas the Tank Engine?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty. They're behind the scenes, so like in the shots that you don't see on the TV show.
Imagine narrating that bit. Oh. Imagine narrating that bit of the... And then the bike inspectors have taken... I'm not going to even bother going there. But Sir, you know what Thomas. I mean.
They were all taken down to the cop shop. Well, oh, it's a pleasure to be joined by Thomas the Tank Denim on air today.
Loving it.
You're loving it?
You're making me chuffed.
We do our best. Now, we've actually got you on for an entirely different reason. I discovered last week that you have a secret talent that you've been hiding from all of us. That is that you can rap on just about any subject.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
We could give it a red hot go.
So you're going to give it a red hot go?
Bit of a slap on the car bonnet.
Your language confuses me.
I'm going to step right away from that one and we'll get into it.
Play the track, Chush.
What do we got? What are you dropping?
I don't know.
You're dropping a bit of a beat for us?
That's got songs.
No, all right. Well, you find a better beat. In the meantime, we need a subject for you. I reckon we'll give you about 10 seconds to work out what you're going to do.
Okay. Should we go like no music and I should just do it on like the fly or should I have that?
I think just a basic beat, I think, is what we're looking for to really give it a sense. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That basic rap battle beat.
It needs some kind of, but yeah.
Okay.
No. Maybe we'll just have to go a cappella.
Can
anyone do any good mouth noises?
I'm not a beatboxer by heart, so
you've been all producer.
Yeah, you tried there, Brendan.
I'm digging that.
Yeah. Points for effort, man. I wouldn't do anything better, so yeah, you can give it a try.
We're gonna
mate.
Have to go with that. All right, I reckon subject number one you've got. What better than trains?
Trains.
It has to be trains, right? So give us a sneaky little verse about trains. What do you reckon? We'll give you about 10 seconds to think about it. What approach would you take, Stephen?
I would probably describe what kinds of trains there are, I don't know.
First of all, you've got to start thinking of rhymes is always my theory.
Yeah.
So trains, I guess it rains. There's got to be something about planes in there as well.
No, they're not planes. Trains aren't planes.
No, they're not planes. But, but sometimes you do have some complaints about the trains. Oh, but anyway, we can't really preface Tom's genius, so let's hear it in action, shall we?
I could hardly call it that.
Got a beat for us potentially? No.
You put instrumental in and everyone sings still, so I don't get it.
It's so unorthodox. Like, yeah. You want something and they give you the opposite. It's like going to a restaurant.
It's so rude.
Well, in that case, a cappella it is. Take it away. Tom Denham on trains. Here we go.
Trains, trains, always on my brains. It's a little bit lefto, but that's why I travel on metro, yeah. I really like Thomas more than hummus. He's really good. You should check him out, you should. Yo.
Oh, that is excellent. All right, what else have we got? We've got to stick with themes from today, I think. What about
bicycle seats?
Yeah, bike seats. We're going to really test you now.
Okay.
So you obviously wouldn't have heard the show. You've been busy this morning. But we did have a final conclusion to my story about having a bike seat stolen. The bike seat has since returned. So it's a challenging one, but
okay.
Have a think about what you can do with bike seats. Again, we'll give you a moment. Where would you go with this one, Stephen?
I'll talk about what it does, pretty much. But
it's hard to get a rhyme, isn't it? You haven't got much to work with.
Bikes. Yeah, it's...
Bike seats, teats.
Treats.
Beats.
Beats.
I listen to some beats sitting on my bike seats.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, well, without further ado, you ready to go?
Yep.
Are you feeling it? You want to beat again?
I think I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Yo, it's a sunny morning in Melbourne. I'm riding down Smith Street, but all of a sudden, where's my bike seat? Ooh. I didn't know if I'm going to meet my friend today because I can't ride down the road. I'm going to stand up on my bike looking like a toad, but all of a sudden, there it is.
The editor had no rhyming, but I love it.
I didn't have much to work with.
There it is.
Well. And a classic local reference as well there.
Got to chuck it in there.
Yeah, yes. But love it. Well, what else has been going on this morning? I guess, is there a topic you'd like to go on? Otherwise, we can go with the hot weather to finish
off. Oh, you know, I think I've got one.
You've got one?
I think I've got one. I think I've got one, yeah.
Okay.
All right, do you want a beatbox again, or... Do you want me to give you that as the backing?
Yeah. Give me a sick beat to kind of back up.
All right, here
sick
we
beats,
go.
Come on.
Yo, get cereal. Tom Denham. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. I was in the office doing lots of work, sorting out the paper in the office machine. Paper galore, A1, A2, A3, A4. But then I went out to the shop to get some lunch, and then I saw my mate James. We had a bunch of fun.
We did.
Because we went to the zoo, and we played the didgeridoo.
Oh. And then both
Well played.
Thank
you so much for joining us in the studio today, Tom.
No
we really
worries.
Appreciate
what a treat.
It.
What a treat it is.
And keep it real, guys. Love your work. Love you all. Illy Times Trilly.
Illy Times Trilly. Even throwing in some rapper names there. Love it. And best of luck with the podcast. We will see you sometime soon with any luck. We'll have to get you back on again sometime.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the morning.
Oh, we certainly will. It is a warm one out there. So
it's a little bit of a scorcher.
Almost as hot as your rapping, mate. Almost.
Close. Nothing can beat that
right
fire.
Here.
Nothing can beat that fire that we just heard.
Yeah, we did hear fire. Well, yeah, we've got to be careful with fire.
Yeah,
though.
We should. Sorry, my bad.
But seriously, good luck for those who are in the fire risk areas. All right, we're getting to another tune now. You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sin.
Can we play Coldplay?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Give me a second.
Please.
They've got a brand new tune out. It is a good one, too.
Oh, it's an absolute earworm. It just wriggles all the way through my head.
Has it actually wriggled into your head yet, though?
Yeah, it's just... driving me crazy.
Will it ever
wriggle
out?
What's the song called, Tom?
That's a good question.
Ask the worm, mate. Ask the worm.
Yeah.
It's called Daddy, I believe.
Is it?
Okay. I tell you, we're totally not bluffing our way through the morning here.
Not
at all.
Why can't we play it?
It's not on.
It's at the top.
Let's...
You see the one with the blue...
just describing
the one that says daddy.
It's not Coldplay.
Oh, maybe. Well, if it's such an earworm, why don't you rap it to us, Tom?
Oh, I would if I could. But, like, you know when you get lost in a song and you just can't remember how that beat goes until you listen to it again? It's one of those sensations where music just overrides you. And I think we've got it now.
You fit right into the shambles here.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays, James, Stephen, Brendan and Tom Denham.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays on Sydney. My goodness me, was that a little bit... That was a bit more grim, emotional than we thought it would be.
With Coldplay.
We didn't expect that to be that way. Let's just be honest.
That was the first time we've heard it.
Yeah, so that's probably...
So we didn't expect it.
It's going straight onto Trisha, our producer's sad playlist, I'm told.
Yeah, I'm going to do it now.
And speaking of sad, it is the end of today's show, which is always the saddest time of the week because it's just been such a fire show today.
A blast.
It's been an absolute ride, right from James trying to avoid Mikey inspectors right through to an epic rap showdown with Tom Denham.
So I've probably just named back-to-back segments.
Pretty much.
From the start with James at Melbourne Central.
That's
where
the show
end.
Started and ended. So if you did miss any of the show today, make sure to get your ear holes around the podcast, which of course...
There wasn't a dull moment, Brendan.
It wasn't a dull moment. We had all sorts going on.
They'd be stupid not to listen.
I'm going to go home and hang out with my bike seat and give it a good hug. Because
make
I'm
sure
to
the you podcast. Don't lose it.
Yeah, listen to the podcast if that doesn't make any sense to you. It'll be on all the normal podcast services. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Get Serial.
And not Twitter because we don't use it.
No, that's right.
Obviously. We say that every week, but...
Well, it doesn't get any less true.
That's correct.
Any final words, James?
No, until then, we'll see you all next week. You've been listening to Get Serial Thursdays with James, Stephen and Brendan.
Booyah!
Adios! Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land, the House of Sin and Studio Stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. Sin also acknowledges and pays respect to the elders and traditional owners of the land our content reaches, as well as the radio stations we broadcast.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.